back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dominic, we are sliding into the hump day, 4 o'clock happy hour, now with more t-shirt giveaways. I am sporting the sexiest of Devil Radio t-shirts. We will give one away this hour. Now that we've made a deal with the USPS, we've got a delivery system. It's efficient. You can win a t-shirt and get it before the weekend, but you got to call in this hour and have something good to say. And through some arbitrary standard, I'll award a t-shirt. Maybe you will, or Fancy Brian. We'll see. 844-967-2789. And Dom, and I'm always happy when I can welcome back Batman. He is Matt Rothschild, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. A friend of ours, man. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you guys doing?
Good, Matt. Thanks for joining us, man.
A little tired and now a little breathless, but Matt, I have been waiting with bated breath, not just for your appearance, but for the big lie to turn into voter suppression here in the great state of Wisconsin. Man, I didn't have to wait long.
No, you sure didn't. None of us had to wait long because just this week, a handful of Republican legislators led by Senators Dewey Strobel and Alberta Darling introduced a whole package of bills that would make it harder for people to vote, get in the way of people exercising our freedom to vote, erecting barriers on the way to the ballot box. It's really outrageous. They want to take away the ease with which people can vote by absentee ballots. They're going to make it super hard for people who are indefinitely confined in retirement homes, for instance. And so I wasn't surprised by this. This is the other shoe dropping after Trump talking all his nonsense during the campaign. I mean, that was for two purposes. One, so he could have an excuse if he didn't win. And number two, so that state legislators that are dominated by Republicans could ram through these bills that are getting in the way of people exercising their freedom to vote.
Man, I'm sure you saw the former defeated gubernator of the state of Wisconsin, Scott Walker, who was for absentee voting like 12 of the last 15 elections when he utilized absentee voting. And hell, he even put out a video on Twitter back, you know, earlier this spring. Vote absentee like me. Well, that was the old Scott Walker. The new Scott Walker says, less talk, more action. Let's make it harder for people to vote. He won't characterize it like that. But man, you and I both know Scott Walker is bad for democracy.
No doubt about it. You know, I'm allergic even to the mention of his name, but I did hear you talking about Walker earlier in the program about this. And the amazing thing about these bills is just how far they go. They go so far to say that any employee at a nursing home who even encourages one of their residents to vote is committing a felony. You can't encourage people to vote anymore in our democracy. That's how bad it's getting.
Well, that's because as part of the evidence, air quotes, that was offered by Dan O'Donnell, righty whitey talker, well, you know, these damn Democratic nursing aides, they're influencing grandma. They're forcing her to vote for Joe Biden. I can't prove it, but Dan O'Donnell said it during a voting irregularity hearing, the very first one at the assembly this year. Man, I'm sure you're familiar.
Yeah, I was listening into that, and he was just blowing smoke every which way without any evidence to back it up. And, you know, it's one thing if someone is telling you who to vote for. It's another thing if you're just saying, hey, don't you want to vote? I mean, that's America. We should be able to encourage people to vote in this country, I would think. Voting is our democratic promise. And you're going to commit a felony if you're encouraging someone to cast a ballot? Not telling them who to vote for, but just vote or just register to vote or just ask for an absentee ballot. All those things would be felonies now if you're working for a nursing home.
Well, Matt, indefinite confinement, we've discussed this many times on this show. Indefinite confinement offers a quote-unquote loophole to not have to secure a voter ID to get your ballot. And God knows that Scott Walker and Republicans and every other damn person, you know, doesn't want to see fraud at the ballot box, so you must apparently supply voter ID, which I'd be okay with, but now they effectively want to eliminate this unless you got a note from your primary care physician or a well-trained nurse. I mean, you know, Matt, effectively, they don't want indefinite confinement as an excuse. And specifically, if you registered during the period of the pandemic here in the state of Wisconsin, you must re-register Because God knows a pandemic's not a good enough reason not to vote in person on election day, sir.
Right, and there's a presumption of guilt there, which is just antithetical to everything we believe in this country. You know, the implication is that people who identified themselves as indefinitely confined last year were somehow, pulling the wool over people's eyes or lying straight up. And, you know, the amazing thing about the change in this law that these Republican lawmakers are suggesting, now to be honored as indefinitely confined, you'd have to submit a statement under oath. That costs money to get someone to notarize. So this is a poll tax. And then on top of that, as you were saying, Trudy, they'd have to have that sworn statement then signed by a physician assistant, or a nurse whose primary responsibility is taking care of you. I mean, how many hoops are they going to make these people who are indefinitely confined jump through? That's what I want to know.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Matt Rothschild, executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, joining us via the Zoom. Matt, thank you for doing so. The indefinite confinement, though, and specifically the Republicans put forth this the language that, you know, you cannot use a communicable disease, a pandemic, as a reason, as an excuse, quote unquote, for your indefinite confinement. But I have not heard, nor has any evidence been presented, that those who did claim indefinite confinement, even those who did not submit a photo ID, I'm not seeing any reporting or any investigation showing that those people are not the people who actually voted, that they were not who they said they were. You know what I'm saying? And so what security, what additional voting security is being presented by these Republicans? Is voting more secure because of this?
No, I mean, it's not going to be more secure. I mean, the Wisconsin State Journal did a comprehensive investigation of all these allegations of improprieties, and the whole thing was a joke. And, you know, now they're making people jump through all these hoops to become classified as indefinitely confined. I mean, and then, you know, what I want to know, Dom, here is, you know, what if I'm, you know, 65 or 75 and I have a serious condition that makes me homebound, you know, and there's this pandemic like we've had, I can't say that I'm definitely confined. I no longer can qualify as indefinitely confined. And it's not only for this pandemic, it's for any future pandemic. And so it's just a way of trapping people in their homes and not really letting them go out to vote unless they jump through all these hoops about go get something notarized and then get your doctor to sign on too.
Well,
who's,
man,
got time for that?
You know it's completely safe to go out and vote.
Yeah,
that's what Robin Voss said that. Incredibly safe.
All right, Matt, so if these proposals do absolutely nothing to provide greater voter integrity, security, whatever, what voting problem do these proposals remedy?
It's a remedy for a non-existent problem. That's the thing, but it's the hoax upon the hoax. I mean, it's predicated on something that doesn't exist, widespread problems at the voting booth. And these solutions aren't going to, you know, solve any of those problems that didn't really exist anyway. They're just going to make it harder for people to vote, harder for people in nursing homes to vote, harder for the disabled to vote. And it's just going to discourage people from voting. We had huge voter turnout in this state, which they should be celebrating. And they had a lot of Republicans turn out to vote, too, which they should be celebrating. But instead, they want to clamp down on the number of people who are voting. This is an old and established Republican ploy. It goes back decades. Paul Weyrich, the old social conservative, was talking to the Religious Roundtable back in 1980. And he said, I don't want everybody to vote. We do better when fewer people vote. I mean, that's the Republican playbook. And this is just pages from the Republican playbook that we're seeing here being introduced in the Wisconsin legislature.
Well, as far as I can tell, Matt, the only problem this might fix for the Republicans is the fact that they lost, at least their presidential, but many of the Republicans won. You know, so it doesn't... It's just voter suppression. I mean, that's it. And you know, Evers came out right off the bat and said he's not going to sign anything. He'll veto any of the stuff that comes through. So what's the point? How do you see this playing out?
Well, I think it's just continuing contaminating the body politics with these bogus assertions that cut at the heart of the validity of our system. And it helps the Trump party. It helps those people who want to, you know, storm the Capitol with their American flags and beat up cops who stand in the way because they don't, the outcome didn't turn out the way they want. I mean, this is very dangerous territory for our democracy when elected officials continue to cast a doubt on the legitimacy of our voting system and then are introducing bills that are just going to make it harder.
Matt, you got a few more minutes? Because I saw you publish some more fine articles about the corporate contributions. And Matt, I got to ask you, do you think, and I know you're Wisconsin Democracy Campaign Executive Director thereof, I know you guys do the math. You guys do the digging and figure out who's given money to whom. Matt, do you think it's influential?
Yeah, that's why they spend the big bucks. That's why the corporations and the super rich are spending so much money, because it gets the job done for them. And yeah, I'd be happy to hang around and talk about this. Which corporations gave the most money to politicians and political parties? You'll find out.
Well, come back with us. That's Batman. He is Matt Rothschild, the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. I'm Crudy. That's Dom. That's Fancy Brian. You can all play a part. We're giving away Devil Radio t-shirts, but not until after the big interview. But be patient on the phones. 844-967-2789. Come right back. More Devil's Advocates.
Batman! Batman! You wouldn't hit a guy with glasses on, would you?
I would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for those meddling devil's advocates.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. If you miss any of this fine program or just want to go back and relive the highlights, go to domandcrute.com. You can listen to and download podcasts and interviews.
The highlights are happening right now. We got a fine guest. He's stuck around. He's Batman, Matt Rothschild, Executive Director of Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Matt, want to talk about the money slushing around in politics. Let's start with the parties. Here under Wisconsin campaign finance law, the newly changed law, you know, to keep Scott Walker's ass out of prison, my understanding is the parties become the big conduits for all the corporate cash. Effectively, you can give uncapped money to the parties, be it the Democrats or the Republicans. And with this new chair, the Democrats are doing it better than they ever have. They're raising gobs of money, sitting on like $5.5 million cash. Matt, did you see that the Wisconsin Democratic Party had to bail out the Florida Democratic Party to the tune of $300,000 so they could pay $250,000 in unpaid health insurance premiums? We got that kind of jig laying around just to give to other state parties at this point.
I'm telling you, Ben Wickler, man, he knows how to raise the money, and he's a kingmaker now. He can write his own ticket. But look, yeah, in 2015, the Republicans changed the campaign finance law in Wisconsin so that super rich people could give unlimited amounts of money to the Democratic Party or the Republican Party of Wisconsin. And it just so happens that Ben Wickler at the Democratic Party of Wisconsin has done a better job than his counterpart at the Republican Party of Wisconsin, raising, by last count that I saw, 2.5 times as much as the Republican Party raised.
Matt, do we have any updates? The $2 or $3 million that were abscond from the Republicans' account before the election? Do we have any insights? Did that money all go into Trump's slush fund or maybe Andrew Hitz? Allegedly, just guessing.
I don't know who diverted that money, but it certainly was embarrassing for the Republican Party of Wisconsin and couldn't have helped their fundraising efforts on that final lap.
Now, Matt, is it my understanding that corporate money can flow directly to the parties? And if so, who's given?
Well, this is something that we put out today. The 2015 rewrite of the campaign finance law by Republicans allowed corporations for the first time in 100 years to give directly to political parties and legislative campaign committees. So we looked at which corporations were given the most in 2020 to political parties and legislative campaign committees here in Wisconsin. Charter gave the most, $56,000, but it spread it all around in a nice bipartisan manner. So I win, tails I win. So they've got all their bases covered. And then Molson Coors came in next with throwing around $51,000. Most of that went to Republicans. And then the tobacco company Juul spent $39,000, most of those to Republican groups. And then you had the Wisconsin Insurance Alliance. They gave $39,000 again to in a bipartisan manner, by and large. Less bipartisan, WMC, Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, gave $36,500 all to GOP groups.
All and of it Realtors to GOP? The WMC, 100% of their givings went to Republican Party?
All to the GOP groups. And then the Realtors, who are a big power also, they gave $38,500, but most of that went to either the Republican Party or the Republican Assembly or Senate campaign committees. You know, there was a total of $1.6 million given by corporations to political parties and legislative campaign committees. A third of that money went to Robin Voss's Republican Assembly Campaign Committee. Robin Voss knows how to raise the money from his folks, and that's why he's become a little king.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Matt Rothschild, Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, tracking down the money. This is specifically corporate giving, right? So we're talking about, you know, 1.13 in 2019, another 1.6 million this year. As a percentage, that's a pretty big increase. But as a totality of corporate giving versus total giving, do you have a sense of what that percentage is, Matt?
I don't have that. I mean, it's not a huge chunk of the money, but it's still pretty interesting to me. And I think it lets you know, first of all, which companies are playing both sides of the fence, and also lets you know who's raising the most. It wasn't the Republican Party of Wisconsin that raised the most. It was Robin Voss's little treasure chest there over the Republican Assembly Campaign Committee. And so when these corporations are given money like this, especially the ones that I rattled off, like Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce or Molson Coors or Charter or the insurance folks, you know, when they come knocking on a legislator's door, you know, tomorrow in the Capitol, that legislator is going to open the door and is going to spend a lot longer time with that lobbyist than, you know, they would with you and me or anyone who's listening to the show right now.
Now, Matt, my understanding, I mean, if we look at the gross numbers here for corporate giving, it's about 70-30 going to 70% of the totality going to the Republicans, 30% going to the Democrats. But there's other givings as well, right? I mean, is the unions, for example, traditionally have been giving to Democrats. Any sense on how that would compare to these particular numbers, Matt?
No, I don't have that on hand, but the unions are giving a lot through PACs like they used to. I mean, it's different. Unions this time, it's not WEAC so much. They were given before Act 10 came down, and of course that hurt them. But they're still in the game. SEIU's in the game. You know, everyone, you know, it's the wild, wild west right now. I mean, anyone can play, and whoever wants to throw their money around can do it. There are restrictions. Corporations aren't supposed to give more than $12,000 to political parties or to legislative campaign committees. So they do need to be careful about that, and some of them aren't that careful.
Matt, there's already super PAC spending against Ron Johnson, over $1 million being spent already, and this is an off year. That number will be enormous between Tony Evers and Ron Johnson seats. How much you think? 100 million could flow through the state next year?
It's going to shatter every ceiling there is, that's for sure.
Well, Batman will be there to count it up and tell us who's corrupt, and it's probably all of them, but anyways. Matt Rothschild, Executive Director, Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. You know, maybe I'm just salty because none of those shekels ever seem to trickle down. Matt, be well, man. We'll talk soon. Come back with us. More Devil's Advocates giving away a t-shirt, but you better have a good take at 844-967-2789. Thanks, Batman.
Matt. Thanks, guys.
We became a pretty good governing party.
We have seen a small increase in deaths, which is a good thing.
You fool me, we can't get fooled again.